fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. I've been thinking more and more these days in these kind of challenging and destabling times we're living in, how important it is for us to be conscious of who we are in Christ and what he's called each of us to do each and every day. And I was thinking, how can we live more radically for Christ? What is it that we can do? What is he calling us to do? I'm convinced that one of the most radical things we can do is to pray, believe it or not. I was thinking yesterday at Mass, Sunday Mass, the celebration with my parish in Ann Arbor, and just thinking, here we are, church was full, intense kind of worship, just people opening their hearts to the Lord, we're receiving the Lord, we're communing with him. I was thinking how radically different this is than the kingdom of this world. And we're living at a time when the kingdom of this world, you might say, is again asserting itself against the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ in a very significant way. The cultures and civilizations, especially of the West, are deciding to define themselves apart from Christ, apart from God, to live as if God didn't exist, and to create a secular culture, a secular worldview, a secular understanding, a utopian understanding of this world. And it's a world that's defined really apart from God, doesn't see God, and doesn't welcome God. So everybody's life gets fashioned in a way, the way of life that we live is this kind of unspoken agreement in our public life. We're all going to act and live as if there is no God. We don't want any reference to God. Some of that's the new rules of the game. But here we are as Catholics celebrating the Eucharist. We come together, and what we believe and what happens at the Eucharist is so important for us to really lay hold of and take really the Scripture's exhortation to us to not absent ourselves from the assembly. Like, don't let the world and the demands of the world cause us to miss Mass on Sunday, to not grasp the significance of the Lord's Day, to set aside this day for the Lord. And it reorders us to reality. It reminds us, and by God's grace, we're able to commune with Christ, and we know again what's most important and why we're here. Why we're here on the earth is to love God. And how do we love God? Well, one of the ways we love God is we worship him. We acknowledge his greatness. We give him thanks. Eucharist is a prayer of thanks. And as we come together as a community of broken, forgiven sinners who are loved by God, and we know in our hearts that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He came for us. He's come to save and rescue us and gather a people. He doesn't come just to save me as an individual. He does that. But what Christ is doing and Jesus' purpose is to gather back all of God's people, all those God has created, to win them all back into a communion, into a body of people, into a new family that's animated now by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead has laid hold of us. Christ dwells in us. And what's the Spirit doing? The Spirit gathers us together to make us one. We are one in this new and radically divine and wonderful way. How has God made a new creation? What's God's plan to regather a family and to make us one? He gives us the same Spirit. The same blood has cleansed us, and the same Spirit of Jesus Christ has been given to us in baptism. This is Jesus' strategy for bringing back the family of God, for him to regather all the brothers and sisters, his brothers and sisters who have fallen away, and he gathers us back, turning us again to the Father to gaze upon him. And so he gathers us around his table. First, the table of his word. We hear the readings proclaimed to us. And the Scriptures, there's the word of God present. The priest stands in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, and through him and through the reading of that gospel, the reading of the Scriptures on Sunday, we all hear the Lord speak to us. And so he's calling out to us. The king is present, and he's gathering his people, and he's speaking his word to his people, and we receive it together. And that word unites us. We're gathered around that word, and we say amen. We respond to the word of God. We welcome the word of God in us, because we're personally and collectively acknowledging that it's Christ who we follow, and we understand it's Christ who gathers us. And our passion is to take on the mind of Christ and to understand how he wants us to live, because what does Jesus say to us? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Can't keep the commandments if we don't know what it is Jesus calls us to do and what he calls us to be. So we hear the word of God, and then he gathers us around the altar, and we literally commune with him in the sacrament, in the Eucharist, in this moment of thanksgiving, where by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that's alive in you and in me, the Holy Spirit makes present the death of Christ at Calvary, this act of love by which the whole world has been saved and the opportunity of salvation has come. And it's the means by which I have been able to become a son of God. Jesus died for my sin. He came to break the rebellion of the world and the flesh and the devil. He came to restore and lead the whole human race to its ultimate purpose, to be united with God the Father, to be children of God. So he gave us power, John tells us in the gospel. He gave us power to become children of God. And how did that happen? It happened because of Calvary. First, because Jesus became one of us to totally identify with us and to unite heaven and earth in his own person. And then he died on a cross and became a sacrifice for sin. And he broke all those powers that separate us. He took away the condemnation that was upon my life because of my own sin and rebellion and my ego. And he heals my mind and he heals my heart through his Holy Spirit, through his word. And he helps me understand that I'm made for a relationship with God and neighbor, that my neighbors are not a threat to me. I don't live in competition against everybody else. The world is not really a place where it's a constant battle for limited resources and getting ahead of the name of the game, and I need to do whatever I can to get ahead of everybody else. And so I'm in this constant battle for my own survival and my own success. But instead, Jesus heals my mind and heals my heart. And he shows me that my neighbor, first in communion there at the Mass, these are my brothers and sisters. All of us have been born again by water and the Spirit into the family of God. And Jesus wants to give us the power to be able to live out what's happening at that moment of the Eucharist, where he comes to us and that deed that saves us, his sacrifice on the cross and the shedding of that blood, it's that blood that cleanses us. It's that act of love and that blood which is the source of the new covenant, the new relationship of the Father's absolute commitment to us. It's brought before us again and again and again. And we receive the grace of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the real presence of Jesus. He said, I'm with you always. So he comes to feed us, and he comes to strengthen us, and he comes to unite us. And what we see and experience in that moment is a sign of what the Lord wants for the entire creation, for every human being on the face of the earth. The Father's plan to save the world is to gather the entire human race around his Son at Calvary, for all of us to behold the face of Jesus, the broken body of our Lord, and to understand that this act of love originated in the heart of God the Father. And this act of love reveals to us the depth of the Father's love. It also reveals to us the depth of the bondage and separation that we've been in. We see the face of sin, the reality of sin's hatred for God. Love came, and we crucified love. We silenced it. The human heart gets revealed. But we also see in the Son this light, this revelation, not only of our own sinfulness and brokenness, not only the Father's plan, but we see in Jesus what we most need to know. Who am I? What's the purpose of my life? What's the road to happiness and fulfillment? How do I know which is the way to go? And from the cross, Jesus reveals to us, and we know what he reveals is the truth, because everything he said and did is vindicated in his resurrection from the dead, in his ascension into the glory of the right hand of the Father. He shows us the way to victory in life. He says, from the cross, he tells us, and this is what he feeds us with in his word and in the Eucharist every Sunday. He communicates to us with power and with passion. He says, look at me. I'm telling you, I've bought you at a price, Scripture says. I paid the price for your sin. You belong to me now. I've come to gather you back. You're like a lost child, a lost boy. I come to gather you back to bring you to the Father. Now look at me. I'm the way and the truth and the life. Follow me. And the way forward for you is my way. It's the way of love. It's the way of obedience. It's the way of humility. It's the way of service. I've come to free you from the bondage of the dominant forces in this world that convince the human heart and keep the human heart enslaved to alienation and fear, anxiety, things that dominate the human mind and the human heart that lead us to behave in ways that are contrary to what God has intended us to be and what Jesus reveals to us. Jesus is saying, the way to the Father is the only way, first of all, but it's worth everything. There's nothing in this world that's worth hanging on to other than what God has called us to be and what he's called us to do. Jesus hangs on that cross, and now victorious, he leads us back to the meaning of what happened when he died and what he wants to communicate to us. He's saying, look at me, trust me. I would not lie to you. I would never lead you astray. I'm the good shepherd, and I'm here to shepherd you to green pastures. And the only green pasture there is in the heart of my Father. It's in his kingdom. And I'm going to bring you home, and I'm going to bring you to heaven. But to get there, you must follow me. And to follow me means the way of love, of self-donation. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love the Father, you'll obey my commands. The Father will love you if you believe in me and you follow me. Friends, the whole point of this, Jesus comes to really open reality and to heal our minds and allow us to see what in this world is truly valuable so that we can live the kind of life that gives glory to God and leads to human flourishing and human fulfillment. The Eucharist is so important for us to radically stand in this time when the culture is getting more and more secular, and to boldly offer ourselves to Christ and to raise our voices and to affirm and to say, yes, God is. God exists. God is good. God is mighty. God is holy. And we belong to him. And this is my dignity, that I belong to God. And I want to bring this understanding into the world that I inhabit so that I can be a light, I can be salt, at this time when the country is in such need of it. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.